I took him out
Blog
for the
Talk Radio.
I just got out there one day, and then I ran up and came right back. I didn't really do much this year.
Okay.
Hopefully next year will be a better season for us all, inshallah. But I do apologize.
Oh, come on. You know I'm messing with you.
I didn't do very much. I killed deer opening day down there actually on Jimmy's Lane. I rode up north, stayed up there with them for 3 days, came back. I didn't really do nothing. More or less hung out with the children.
I've been teaching on Sunday afternoon. So I start at 1 o'clock, then we break, Lord prayer at 2 o'clock, and then we come back and finish the class.
Sure, I'm gonna check you out, sure.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My gi on, come down and just profile, stand around.
This brother knows my class. Watch this.
Oh, my God. Your phone breaking up bad. Must be in a bad spot.
You driving?
Yeah, I'm riding, so it's probably what happened.
Oh, okay. All right, Craig.
Dr. Lakai, man, I really appreciate you calling me. Let me know what's happening with this.
I'll be there. Just, you know, get it and do it for you. All right.
Inshallah, be to see y'all as soon as possible, man.
Hey, you're welcome to come to Muslim Center any Sunday.
Maybe I can see you this Sunday, inshallah.
Inshallah. No, Allah knows that.
I mean,
all right, Jake. Waalaikum salam wa
rahmatullah.
And it's on. I don't know what happened with this test. I'm going to have to go back in.
No, we don't.
No. Everything stopped.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everything just stopped.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
The board is not up. Yeah. It was. The board is not coming up.
Hello, welcome back to Indigenous Voices of the People. This is your guest host, Jibril Salam, Abdullah Bey, Strong Bear. And the host of Chinupa Glue High Money, independent Lakota Nation of the Strong Heart Warrior Society. This is your show, folks, the Indigenous Voices of the People, where we listen to all the perspectives of the people, and we talk a lot about independence and self-determination. This is one of the goals that we have, is for our people to once again be free and independent, determine their own destiny according to our way of life. Other people have their way of life, but we have a way of life also of our own. And we start our show off with a prayer, and we end with a song. So, we're going to get a prayer going and get this show to rolling. Indigenous Voices of the People, this is your show, folks. Do call in and engage and share your perspective. 685, what's that number? 657-383-1630. Do call in and engage. Start with a prayer. I'll be back. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم بين أيديكم وخلفكم ولا يأتون بشيء من أمره إلا بما شاء وفي أمره ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Okay. Well, we want to start off strong topics here. How we look?
Antibiotics.
What is up? Yeah, no callers yet. Okay. Well, we got a lot going on out there, folks. One topic that I would like to open up for everybody today is a topic that we speak a lot about is independence, self-determination. Well, the indigenous people of Turtle Island, of the Americas, they have what's called a Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, the American Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Then internationally, they have a UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, where indigenous people all around the world have been advocating and fighting for their way of life. Because a lot of the indigenous people have been colonized through a way that is called Doctrine of Discovery, which came from Jesuits, the Holy See, they called the Roman Catholic Empire, to the Roman popes and the papal bulls of the papacy. And then those declaration, they address the rights of indigenous people agreed upon by indigenous people from all around the world. But today we're going to discuss the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People of the Americas. And in Article 1 of that declaration, which reads, the American Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People applies to the indigenous people of the Americas. Number two, self-identification as indigenous peoples will be the fundamental criterion for determining to whom this declaration applies. The state shall respect the right to such self-identification as indigenous, whether individually or collectively, in keeping with the practices and institutions of each indigenous people. There are many communities of indigenous people here on Turtle Island, from Argentina all the way up to northernmost part Canada, from the Atlantic shores all the way to the Pacific shores. Many nations, one people. Whether they be so-called south of the border, north of the border, within the state. I think we get a good mic. So, in discussing this here declaration, the states recognize and respect the multicultural, multilingual character of indigenous people who are an integral part of their society. Indigenous people, Article 3, is going to read, the indigenous people have the right to self-determination. By that virtue of that right, they freely determine their political status and freely pursue their economic, social, and cultural development. And in Article 4, it reads, to the tone of nothing in the declaration may be interpreted as implying for any state people, group, or person any right to engage in any activity to perform any act contrary to the charter of the organization of the American state and the charter of the United Nations, or construed as authorizing or encouraging any action which would dismember or impair totally or in part the territorial integrity or political unity of sovereign and independent states. Sovereign and independent states. States meaning nations. Many nations of people inhabited this land upon arrival of the Europeans. Many stories and many falsehoods have been told concerning the Aborigines and indigenous populations of Turtle Island, of the Americas. So in order for these things to get set back in its right perspective, then that virtue must be expressed, that right of self-determination, that right of freedom and independence. You have a lot of these people who will tell you, oh, well, no, you got to do it according to the state, according to the state of whatever state of states that you're in. Those are corporations. Anything that says state of, county of, city of, those are corporate entities. And we all know that in America, it's all about a coupon, a coin, a dollar, monetary value. Well, we understand business because we were some of the first people doing business here. We traded with each other. We serviced one another. We had value, you know, that we paid tribute to one another. We gave to one another. We shared with one another. So we understand trade. We understand these things. Yet, we have lost the essence of the perspective of how to maintain and protect it. So that's why we're having this discussion of these rights of indigenous people, because most of the people of America, they never even heard of it, rights of indigenous people. I had people ask me, Indians still exist? Indigenous people, they still here? They still exist? Because they only see a handful of people that live on a reservation or that which Hollywood projects. But it's so many people that are forgotten or looked over or unknown, and then when it's presented to them in the business world, if it's not on the pronunciation of the Caucasian people, of the white man, then is dismissed as illegitimate or unknown or fantasy or false. We present our own identification, our indigenous identifications. They want to claim them to be false ID because out of their ignorance, out of their not knowing or being indoctrinated that there's only one way to pronounce things. That's because they, all their lives, this is all they ever heard of, and they never seen anything different, so they don't know anything different. You go in the stores and we present a tax exempt, which they give to churches and many organizations, which are charitable organizations, their whole 501c3s, and many different other types of tax-exempt charity, but the people who are taught to be the cashier in some of these places, that they don't even know what tax-exempt is or how to implement it in the taking of the transaction. And that's because they're purposely kept in the dark. And we've been told by a lot of these corporations when we applied to them for these things, that they, a lot of them say, though, we don't know how that works. We never did that before. And then a lot of the corporations say that we don't teach them that. We don't encounter that enough to teach them is what they say. And the bottom line is to keep the people in the dark, to keep the corruption going. Not that a tax system in itself entirely is a corrupt system, because it's not. Protection tax is legitimate. Diesel tax is legitimate when one portion of the people of society have more than others, then they are obligated to look out for the others. This type of taxation is legal. The rich people have a certain holding. The more affluent people have a certain holding throughout the year. Then they are obligated to give so much of that holding in charity, so that it keeps the poor population from being below the poverty line. It keeps the people on the even scale. Well, that's what the human resources and the welfare system was based upon. And who gave them that system? The indigenous population, the indigenous people. This is the system of the Creator. That one, take care of the other. The Creator gave you two hands. One hand, wash the other hand. So the people are supposed to take care of the people and look out for one another. So we're going to move on into this, and then we'll take some questions. If we get any callers to come in.
Yeah, a couple of callers.
Okay, and in the next article we're reading, that indigenous people and individuals have the right to the full enjoyment of all human rights and fundamental freedoms as recognized in the Charter of the UN, the Charter of the Organization of American States and International Human Rights Law. Article 6, Collective Rights. Indigenous people have collective rights that are indispensable for their existence, well-being, and integral development as people. In that regard, states recognize and respect the right of indigenous people and their collective action to the judicial, social, political, and economic systems or institutions, to their own cultures, to profess and practice their spiritual beliefs, to use their own tongues and languages, and to their own lands, territories, and resources, they shall promote with the full and effective participation of the indigenous people the harmonious coexistence of the rights and systems of different population groups and cultures. Article 7. Indigenous women have the right to the recognition, protection, and enjoyment of all human rights and fundamental freedoms provided for in the international law, free from all discrimination of any kind. All the states recognize that violence against indigenous people and individuals, particularly women, hinders or nullifies the enjoyment of all human rights and fundamental freedoms. The state shall adopt and in conjunction with indigenous people the necessary measures to prevent, eradicate all forms of violence, discrimination, particularly against indigenous women and children. So we as indigenous men have to stand upon the virtue of these integral parts of indigenous culture, protect our women, protect our children, protect our land, protect our resources, protect each other and our way of life, protect the languages, protect our spiritualities, and make sure that it is implemented. And how do we implement it? We have to put it into practice. Here it is, we got all the different indigenous countries from the north all the way to the south, from the east to the west, have agreed upon this declaration of the rights of indigenous people and the government, the leaders of these countries and of these communities have agreed upon this, and it's become a live, living document in which we can implement as our authority in implementing these things which were taken away from us by force, by violence, by rape, by murder, by all these different ill attributes. which are still going on today. So in order for freedom, independence, and self-determination to flourish, you have to implement, you have to live on it. So long as we remain quiet, as long as we stay subjected to false belief, false doctrinations, false privileges, all these other ills, then we will always stay subjugated and relegated to someone else's behest. But we have our own way, we have our own authority to do. But we have to stand up and do for ourselves. We tried the other way, and it works for some people, maybe. But for most of us, it does not uplift our people. It doesn't free our people. It doesn't stop the violence perpetrated against our women and children. It gives an advantage of the others over us. So in order for us to gain those rights and so forth, you have to implement them. Okay, I mean, you want to put anything with that?
Yeah, I want to say, as you see, we say, he says human rights. He didn't say civil rights. Human rights mean that's your created, you were born with human rights. Civil rights are given you to by the people or man, and they can be taken away from you. But your human rights can never be taken away from you. They can only be taken away from you if you give it up. Well, that's what the freedom, the independence, self-determination comes under. Human rights, not civil rights. Civil rights means non-criminal, means that somebody killed one of your loved ones, then you go do a civil right action, means that they're not being charged. You only get a monetary value from it. But if you charge somebody with your human rights, it's a good chance, the possibility that he can be charged with that murder, but not civil rights.
Ben, that you brought that into the picture, let's pull up that legal dictionary and look at the legal description that they put out. Let's try this dictionary right here. Civil. Civil says legal issues which are not criminal in nature. See civil case and civil action. Go back and look under civil action. Civil action reads a lawsuit that is not criminal in nature and usually a dispute regarding private property rights such as breach of contract, divorce, negligence, and personal injury, probate proceedings, etc. So as the brother said, it's non-criminal in nature. Even if it's personal injury, this is how they get away with doing these things. Under civil death, persons, there's a whole other discussion of persons. Persons being anything under description of commercial entity or anything other than man, woman, boy, or girl. Persons is the first thing they have on there. There's the change of the state of a person who is declared civilly dead by judgment of a competent tribunal. In such case, the person against whom such sentence is pronounced is considered dead. Does everybody get that? They consider you civilly dead. In order for them to, I'll read it again, persons. Change of the state of a person. They flip your state of being through political standing called political status. Change of a state of a person who is declared civilly dead by judgment of a competent tribunal, meaning the court, the judge and the court prosecutor and all those people there. Number one, they changed your name when you went and applied for an ID or driver's license, any privilege you took from the public, they put it in all capital letters to make it civilly dead, like on a gravestone. And they considered you a person, no longer a people, but a person. Person being a store, an agency, an organization, a member, an agent, a commercial entity, anything other than a boy, girl, woman, or man. And the person against whom such existence is pronounced is, meaning they only pass judgment over dead people. So this is the presumption that they place upon the people without their knowing. And then they have what's called civil code, a branch of law which does not consist of criminal law and governs non-criminal behavior, a complete collection of applicable civil law of a jurisdiction, and that has been compiled. In many states, the collection of laws of civil nature are referred to as civil code. The collection of law comprising of law that is not pertaining to criminal conduct, which is covered by criminal code, also refers to a French Napoleonic code that is the law in the state of Louisiana, meaning they use like parishes, and they have different pronunciation, which is in French, because the French at one time held them under colonial occupation.
So, people, what is a, when you use the word corporation, saying the word corp, what is a corp? I mean, something that is dead. So what when they put your name in all capital letters, it means that they consider you as a corporation, you're a person, a corporation. So legally, you are dead. You're dead. So you're considered as a corp or corporation. So the courts cannot live with living people. They don't deal with the dead people. So if you ever know, if you go, once you go in a court, you are boxed in. So when you're in a box, I mean, they don't recognize you. You are dead as you come into court. So even when you say, even when you use the word black, what is black? Black is something that doesn't exist. When you go into a dark room, you don't see nothing. So same thing, you're not seen. So definition of law means that you have no standing in law when you consider it black.
So these are some of the ways that they do things, and they have so many different titles under civil attribute, civil liberty, civil law, civil disobedience, civil commotion, civil contempt, civil covenant of solidarity, civil officer, civil penalty, civil procedure, civil recovery, and so forth and so on, civil rights, civil service. And a lot of things, which applies, you know, in connection with the people, but then you have a lot of it where it puts you in a different bracket other than who you really are or what the real pronunciation is. Because we live under real issues, real circumstantial situations where we have rapes, murders, theft. We got so many different things going on the different reservations. They're passing marijuana laws in different cities, different counties, different. Even the Congress is considering making it legal to possess or smoke marijuana. Some states have made it recreational legal. They're passing out gun permits to people who. They give permits to people who are not educated or responsible enough to even have a weapon, a pistol, a gun, rifle, shotgun, whatever. So, because it's a tool, and it can be a very aidful, helpful tool, yet it can be a very destructive tool depending on whose hands it's in, because a gun never killed nobody without the aid of a human. A knife never killed anybody without the aid of people, of a person, a human. So these are something that we have to consider, and these issues that we really have to deal with, you know, on a daily basis. So we're covering these rights of indigenous people for those who are not aware of the rights of indigenous American Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Okay, we are going to move on to Article 9, which is the judicial personality. state shall recognize fully the judicial personality of indigenous people, respecting indigenous forms of organization and promoting the full exercise of the rights recognized in this declaration. And Article 10 says indigenous people have the right to maintain, express, and freely develop their cultural identity in all respects, free from any external attempt to at assimilation. Many, you know, Article 10 is rejection of assimilation. We don't have to assimilate into this made-up culture because it's not ours, and it doesn't suit a lot of us. It doesn't even benefit a lot of us. So you're not obligated to assimilate into anybody's culture, religion, way of life. We have a way of life. We're people who always believe in a great creator. We always believe in taking care of our parents, taking care of our children, keeping our connection with Mother Earth and with nature, and doing things in a fashion which are beneficial to the people, to the animals, and to the environment, and to better ourselves spiritually so that when we return to the spirit world, that we fare well on that side as well as on this side. So we were people who believed that way and people who try to live under those covenants and under that way of life. So we reject a lot of the assimilated ways. Why? Because it's a corruption. Destroy our way of life, our spiritual beliefs, our languages, our ways of doing things, our way of raising our children. People want to lock you up, take your kids away because the way we rear our children, not the way that they rear theirs. Well, we see things differently. Indigenous people have the right to maintain, express, and freely develop their cultural identity in all respects, free from any external attempt at assimilation. They shall not carry out, adopt, support, or favor any policy of assimilation of indigenous people or of destruction of their cultures. We go to court on a traffic ticket. They trying to destroy our culture. They trying to assimilate us into their culture or their beliefs or their codes or their statutes or their acts. Oh, you got to do this because this. No, you got to do that because that's yours. That's not mine. Don't have nothing to do with me. That's yours. And that's the way you want to live, then y'all do that. But don't put that on me because that's not my way. This is what we mean by freedom, independence, and self-determination. Article 11. Indigenous people have the right not to be the object of any form of genocide or attempts to exterminate them. Come on, people. They're trying to get rid of us daily through the food, through water, through monetary means.
Inoculation.
Through vaccines and inoculations. There's many different ways they're trying to get rid of us. They've been trying to get rid of us. Told a lot of lies that they came, the land was vacant, the people died off, they didn't have no immunity. Come on. Really? That's not the way nature works. I'm sorry. You don't find monoculture in nature where one area grows just one kind of food. That don't happen naturally. That's man's thing. So that blows those theories out of the water. You tell that lie to somebody else that don't know better. We know better. We've been living in this a long time. How somebody come from outside, they all of a sudden they know how to grow corn, how to grow beans, how to grow squash, how to grow tobacco, how to grow cotton. Get real. You don't know because you never done it. You don't know nothing about the soil. You don't know nothing about the seasons, you know. So tell those lies to people that don't know. Don't tell it to us. We know better. Call you out every time. Article 12, guarantees against racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance. Indigenous people have the right not to be the object of racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, or related intolerance. State shall adopt the punitive, the preventative, and corrective measures necessary for full and effective protection of that right. So these things which we are suffering, we have these documentation on the international level. We got other countries and other communities and other sovereign nations to back us in independence, freedom, self-determination. They say, are you federally recognized? We are federally, internationally, locally. The whole world recognizes who we are. Our problem is us. We haven't recognized who we are to step up to the plate and hit that home run. Because Article 13 reads, right to cultural identity and integrity. Indigenous people have the right to their own cultural identity, integrity, and to their cultural heritage, whether tangible or intangible, including historic and ancestral heritage, and to the protection and preservation and maintenance and development of that cultural heritage for their collective continuity and that of their members, and so as to transmit that heritage to future generations. State shall provide redress through effective mechanisms, which may include restitution, developed in conjunction with indigenous peoples with respect of their culture, intellectual, religious, and spiritual property taken without their free, prior, and informed consent, or in violation of the laws and traditions and their customs. We have our own authority, people. We always have. We don't have to beg anybody for anything. All we have to do is stand up and be counted as to who you really are and what it really is with you. So you have a choice. You can be free, independent, or you can be a dependent. You know, hang around the fort.
Also, you got to understand also that no one knows who you are until you let them know who you are. They're going to presume that you are one of them until you let them know you're not one of them. So they're going to think that you're a corporate slave, a city slave, a state slave, all of them. But if you tell them that you're not none of them, you are self-determined, you're independent, and you are indigenous. You know, you're not black, you're not white, you're not brown, you're not none of them colors, you know. I mean, you're probably brown, but you definitely ain't black, you know. But until you let these people know who you definitely are, they're going to assume that you are legally dead, legally friction, or a legally entity, in which they say that, you know, we're gonna rule over you, and we'll put our foot in your neck, and we're going to, you know, tell you what to do. But until you let them know that you're not standing for this, you're a flesh, living human being, not a dead person, not a corporation, but someone is alive, and that's what you must state to them. Let them know who you are, not let them presume who you are and what they want you to be, but let them know who you is.
And on that note, I just want to throw this in that they got, you know, here in America, I don't know how many people are aware of this, but you got a lot of people come and they take the citizenry thing to take citizenship, right? And you remember in school, you went to school here in America. A lot of us, we went to Catholic schools and so forth. But their thing was to be the good citizen.
Just citizen certificate.
And then they had these citizen certificates. Well, most people, I don't know if they're aware, I don't believe they are, but in America, they got five different types of citizens under their guise. They got the American state national. They have a state citizen. They have a federal United States citizen. They have a territorial United States citizen. And then they have a municipal citizen of the United States. And all five of those come with a different definition, which falls in the category of different political statuses. See, and that's what we meant when we talked about political status and so forth. I got to step out of the studio that you got. How's the boy looking? I'm getting callers.
Yeah, when you get back.
Okay. You got a few people calling in and so forth. Anybody would like to chime in on that, on these topics?
917. 917-2285. Do you say tonight where you calling from? And do you want to speak on this topic, or do you have anything else you want to speak on?
Can you? Yeah, I'll talk, but I'm still working, and I'm not going to be able to hear me. I'm using some heavy equipment right now. Yeah, I don't know. Give me 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'll be able to talk.
Okay, well, if you you deal with the equipment, it probably won't be probably wouldn't hear you too good. I hear the machines going. Okay, we move on to the next caller.
918-0762. Say where you call from, your name, and do you have anything to say to stop it?
Hi, this is Rachel from Oklahoma. So
hey,
what class is I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Oh, we hanging in there, baby. We doing good.
I think we all are. So if we're all dead by their paperwork and capital letters, so if we kill one of them MFers, so they can't charge us with a crime. You can't charge a dead man with a crime, can you?
Yeah, that is something there to think about.
There you go, and that's why you got to let them know. You look at me as dead. You don't recognize me. You don't respect me. I'm considered dead under your corporation, under your government, under your laws, your constitution, your rules, and blah, blah, blah. If I shoot you, you can't charge me because you've classified me as dead by your own asinine paperwork.
Now, ain't that something? Now, here, you turn it back around the way they use it. That's how they use it against the people. Exactly how they use it against the people. Wow, that's really something, Rachel.
Yeah, it is, because like I said, you got to use that stuff against them. They made the rules, so, hey, follow those rules. They come fucking with you, pardon my language. They come trying to dictate to you. They come trying to tell you, get your ass back in your house. Well, if I shoot you, you can't charge me because I'm dead. How can you even boss a dead person around, motherfuckers?
Yeah, well, very few people even realize this is what's going on.
Well, that's all I got to say about it. So they need to wake up because if you're fucking with the dead man, that dead man can kill you. You can't do nothing back to him because you don't recognize him to begin with, right?
Yeah, but like I say, most of the people are very unaware of what's being perpetrated. Yeah, most of the people have no idea of the games that's being perpetrated against them. Reading
it's all
into
mind
the law,
games. It's all mind games. As long as you allow them to tell you to get back in your house and you turn around, walk around, and you walk back to that house, I got them. If you stand your ground, tell them to get the F away from you, and they don't, they get pissed. So are you recognizing me or are you not? Are you talking to a dead person looking like a fool? What are you doing here? What are you doing? They need to be asked what the fuck they're doing. You try to talk to a dead corporate person under a, you giving me a number? You giving me capital letters and all this? So do you need some mental health?
Most of them, they're working the system. They don't know what's going on either.
They don't. They're stupid.
Well, because of all their life, they lived under these doctrines, which they haven't investigated, haven't looked into. They just took it at face value as this is what it is. This is the law. This is, you know, like they say, do you got a license to practice law? Well, there is no license for anybody to practice law. What are you talking about? Then they start looking around at walls and stuff. When you tell them that, they start looking like they're looking for something. Yeah, well, no state issues a license for law practice. They have a membership to a club called the Bar Association, which is franchised. It starts from the London Guild, the London Bar, and it goes to the American Bar, then the State Bar, and then, you know, these little smaller franchises of a bigger parent company, and it's all just corporate structure is what it is. It's called monopoly. So, but, you know, one of the crimes perpetrated against the people was not to read. When one of the commandments of the Creator was to read. When you look at the water, the fisherman look at the water, he read the waves. And the man who traveled across the water on the boat, he reads the waves, he reads the wind, he reads the stars. The man navigating through the forest, he reads the paths, he reads the plants, he reads the trees. You see, there's different ways of reading. When you meet someone, you read the person on what is his vibe, what is his action, what does his face say, what does his eyes say, you know, what does his smile say? Is it a genuine smile or is this a projected smile, a cover-up? You know, there's many ways of reading. And as indigenous people, we know at one time we were in tune with these things, but a lot of people now, through these different means of indoctrination, have lost the ability to be able to read things. You say reading, they think it's just reading a page on a book. There's a lot more to reading than just reading some words on paper. But, you know, and right now, this is the topic that we're on. Things in reading on paper, which is very important, you know, that you read and comprehend and understand, because a lot of things have been hidden in the reading, in the writing. And if you read and pay close attention and look at the definition and the roots of some of these words and what they really mean and what their meaning in their explanations to you, then you'll find all of these different corruptions, and you'll be able to deal with them on a level which will be beneficial, more beneficial, and will you have to protect your rights. I heard one judge tell a young man in the courtroom one day, she said, young man, if you don't protect your rights, you don't have any. And what it was, he went behind another guy who had just went up for a child support case. And when this young man came up, the judge told the prosecutor to sit down. We don't have no jurisdiction in his case. So when she exclaimed that they didn't have no jurisdiction, the next young man, she called the next case. He said, I want to do what he did. And she told him she couldn't tell him what he did, but she said, young man, if you don't protect your rights in here, you don't have no rights. So in other words, that first young man, he had his status correct, that he was not, they couldn't presume him to be civilly dead, they couldn't presume him to be lost at sea, they couldn't presume him to be none of those things that they presume a lot of people to be in, to subjugate them to their jurisdiction and to rob them of their resources, because that's what the system does. Subjugates you and relegates you into a status, and under that status, they have a jurisdiction in that status where they can rob you, like we read about the tribunal, military tribunal. And that's what a lot of these district courts are, or military tribunals. And how would you know that? Well, if you study law of the flag, you see the day you come in there and they have their banner commerce, their flag is in there with gold fringes around it, which is a mutilation, meaning it is a military tribunal. You're in a military court. I'm not in the military. How they got me in a military court? You'll also find a corporate seal in there. You'll also find on the top of that flagpole a cannonball with an eagle on top of it. So they're using different avenues to rob the people. You know, they're using maritime law of the sea, admiralty law. And for all those naysayers who don't believe what we say, I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a gemstone. You all got smartphones and computer tablets and all these different computerized gadgets. So look up, go on Google Earth, look up Dade County Federal Building, Federal Courthouse. Dade County Federal Courthouse, and look at it from that aerial view from the top. And tell me what you see the architecture of that building to look like. And then you call us back on the show and tell us what you saw. Or call in and comment to what you saw. And this is on the subject of maritime and admiralty, British law of the sea. And this is how they get jurisdiction and claim over you, is through their flag and through their pronunciation of their law. The municipal law, those different citizens that we spoke about, Roman law is the municipal. The municipal law pertains to Roman law. Municipal citizen of the United States. That's the that pertains to Roman law. And then you got your territorial United States citizen.
You got a jurisdiction in the territory.
And then you got your federal United States citizen. A lot of people fall under that here through the 14th Amendment and so forth. And they are mostly dual citizens. True federal citizens are called United States citizens, and they are considered, while employed by the federal government, as to be a dual citizen of that state and work directly for consigned to the United States of America, the unincorporated federation of states, in control of the international land jurisdiction. Then you got your state citizen, who's a citizen born of a particular state. Each state was in itself a nation. And then you have the national citizen. Okay, we have a caller calling in. Hold on, folks.
The Cheyennes, they donated us $275 for whatever food supplies, so I'll get water and all that shit too.
All right. We sure tried to get out there for the human rights meeting. Well, folks, we got Chinupa Gluha Money hosting the International Human Rights meeting on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation down in Madison, and Auntie Bernice, Grandma Bernice's place.
So he's not on the show tonight, but he called in, so we're getting a little excerpt for that. We tried to be there with him, but we couldn't make it, so we're still holding the show down, folks. Say hello to the folks out there, Chanuva.
Yes, yes. Hey, everybody, love you all. I'm glad you guys are tuning in. The Human Rights Meeting here in Manderson, South Dakota, at Auntie Bernice Whitehawks is going smooth. We have nine Cheyenne people coming from Lame Deer. They just arrived here about an hour and 15 minutes ago. So this Human Rights is to discuss about all the illegal things that are happening within the reservation. And so I thought I'd take this time to give Jabril and them a call because I knew the radio show was on tonight, but, you know, I can't host them. But you guys stay on the show, keep calling in. You know, this is your show, and it's also, man, the people's show, you know. So just like the gathering, there'll be more, you know, human rights gathering meetings that we'll be conducting for Auntie and a lot of our elders because, you know, in Lakota we say, excuse me. They say, which is true. And for Devin Oldman and the Arapahos that are here, you know, I love you guys, man, for all taking that time to come out here and support Aunt Bernice and Jabril and them. You know, they're supporting us from this area. And Scott McKay and Ella Giancarlo, thank you guys for contributing to the meeting and with some of the flyer expenses and all that shit. It's great. It's great, man, being a strong heart. But I'll let you guys carry on, and I'm racing towards Rapid City to get more bowls and supplies. And we'll be singing and dancing. There'll be footage tomorrow we'll be putting out. Love you all, man. Keep freedom alive, man. Independence is your ticket. Love you guys. All right, Jabril, we'll let you guys get back to the show. Thank you.
All right, won't be La Tonka. Now, keep us informed what's going on, brother. You're doing a great job.
All right,
we'll
do.
Love you for that. And we'll be listening for the next call coming through. Keep us up on what's going on and give our greetings to all the grandmas.
Oh, most definitely. I give a talk about all of you. So, yes, most definitely. I'll do it again. All right, brother, I'll let you go, man. Carry on. Love you all.
What's out there? Folks, okay, back to our show, folks. There was Chanuva Blue Hot Money calling in from the meeting out on Pine Ridge. We were trying to get there. He didn't get down here to Denver, Colorado on the 28th for another young man was brutally murdered by the Denver Police Department. And after they shortly had just removed that declaration that they could kill since from 1864, kill indigenous people and take their belongings, was a declaration by one of the governors in 1864, and it just was removed by the governor just last year. And we also aid in the family in the case down there on that. And what brought about this human rights meeting out on Pine Ridge was the death of one of the our Lakota brothers down there, and we had a six-year-old kid just killed by a random drive-by shooting since they just allowed everybody to carry guns and so forth and passing out gun permits and made marijuana legal and so forth. We have a lot of that going on around the country. There's a video out here of Senator Tom Barrow addressing the White House and the president issuing government-issued crack pipes and smoke houses for people to come and smoke drugs. You don't hear no more war on drugs, the war on the drugs and so forth, because they are trying to legalize these things and make revenue from it. Why? Because it's another form of genocide, which we were just reading about in that declaration, to remove the indigenous population from their lands. You know, you got a lot of indigenous people here nowadays that don't even know that they're indigenous. You got people who, they don't know what tribe they come from, what language they spoke, or who their great-great-grandmother was, or who the great-grandmother, some of them don't even know who the grandmother is or the mother and father. So many people we come across and ask them, well, who's your grandmother? I don't know. Who's your dad? I don't know. Who's your mom? Oh, my mama is such and such and so and so. So these are the remnants of what was done to the people here on Turtle Island, to an indigenous population, to a lot of the population here on Turtle Island, here in America's. Some of the things that were done to the people here are so difficult, such a difficult thing to digest and to comprehend all of the different atrocities that have been done to our people. So let's move along with the, we were talking, I think we were on 13, cultural identity.
Let me just say something. You know, one of the ways that you can destroy a nation is what corrupt the youth. You know, once you corrupt them and take away their identity, then, you know, the youth supposed to be the hope of the future. But if you kill the future, then you can, you know, your nation stop doing it on its own.
Go after the seed.
Yep.
Grassroots, you know. And if you look at it, these are the people who they are targeting nowadays, is the youth. They want to put transgender into the school thing. They want to confuse the children as to their sexual gender and to train them at a young age to accept the norms of the misbehavior of homosexuality, lesbianism, what do you call it, LGBT or whatever. You got a lot of different letters they're using, to acronyms to express these people. If this is how you wish to live, outside the law of nature and outside the law of the Creator, and you need to keep that under wraps, out of the view of the public, but they want to bring this into the public, which by every standard in nature, you don't see this. Now, some people are born with male and female genitalia. This is the act of nature. This is something that's done, not that they did themselves, but in that pronunciation, generally only one of those organs function, not both, because they may have the twin genitalia, one of each, but only one of them will be functional. Because the body is built by cellular division, and maybe the cells didn't divide fully, or, you know, it's like the same cells that create the uterus create the prostate, whether it be male or female. So those cells, we are a conglomerate of cells, and when you get into it on a biological level, then you will start to understand these things. A lot of people don't understand it because they haven't got into the knowledge of the scientific pronunciation of how the anatomy and how the body works and how it's developing on that bio level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so going back to the rights of indigenous people, Article 14, systems of knowledge, language, and communication. Indigenous people have the right to preserve, use, develop, revitalize, transmit to the future generations their own histories, languages, oral traditions, philosophies, systems of knowledge, writing, and literature, and to designate and retain their own names for their communities, individuals, and places. States shall adopt adequate and effective measures to protect the exercise of this right with full and effective participation of indigenous peoples. Are y'all listening to me out there? Indigenous people have the right to promote and develop their systems of media communication, including their own radio and television programs, and to have equal access to all other means of communication and information. States shall take measures to promote and broadcast of radio and television programs in indigenous languages, particularly in areas with an indigenous presence. States shall support and facilitate the creation of indigenous radio and television stations, as well as other means of information and communication. So under the FCC, the federal communication laws, there are provisions for us indigenous people, but we have to implement it. It only can happen if we implement.
That's why the show, as you see, we have the show called well, Indigenous Voice of People. So the idea is telling you that we have a right to do that. So we have a radio station for us, but radio station not as good as those who call in, you know. So if you know, this is your show. So
if you got a recipe you want to share with some of your other Indian people, it's your show. If you got an issue with happening in your community and you want to bring out awareness of it, this is your platform. If you got anything happening in your state, city, county, reservation, your neck of the woods, and you want that to be put out because the local media won't cover it, this platform is for you to be able to do that. Speaking of that, I need to close. States in conjunction with indigenous people shall make the effort to ensure that those people can understand and be understood in their own languages and in administrative, political, and judicial proceedings, if necessary, through the provision of interpretation or by other effective means.
So when you go to court and they can't understand you, they're, by law, they got to give you an interpreter, so they'll interpret what you're saying. So you know, you have that right.
Article 15, under education. Indigenous people and individuals, particularly indigenous children, have the right to all levels and forms of education without discrimination. And indigenous people, in keeping with the principle of equality of opportunity, shall promote the reduction of disparities in education between indigenous and non-indigenous people. Indigenous people have the right to establish, control, and educate, and control their educational systems and institutions, providing education in their own languages and in the manner appropriate to their cultural methods of teaching and learning. State, in conjunction with indigenous people, shall take effective measures to enable indigenous individuals living outside of their communities, particularly children, to have access to education in their own languages and cultures, something that they took away from us with the boarding schools and attending these Catholic schools and public schools and different forms where you can't speak your language. You weren't supposed to be reading. You weren't supposed to be speaking your language. You weren't supposed to be expressing your culture. You can't wear that in here. You got to take your hat off in the building. You can't do this, you can't do that. And these people still live under these false doctrines. And they still, you go to these different places and they still come at you like this. So this doctrine here, we have to pronounce it through implementation. They come down to the river and told me, I got to have license, I got to have this and that for my renters to rent my jet skis. I told them, no. You see that flag on there? These are owned by the Independent Chattahoochee Nation, and they, by maritime law, the flag, they flying their flag, so we don't do all that. We got our own way. So the man, head man over it, we had to give him this document so that he could go and read and understand what's going on, because they don't teach them these things. They keep them in the dark so that they'll remain ignorant, and they will enforce those ignorant ideas and those ignorant policies and those ignorant legal vestitudes, which don't concern us. Moving right along. States in conjunction with, go ahead. Someone saying something? Come on, with your comment.
I'm done. So yeah, I was listening to you, and I have that same indigenous declaration of the United Nations. I've been trying to share that with, you know, a lot of the people. And the problem is, I understand it. I don't want to understand it. it's hard to, you know, try to explain to them that this is giving you your right, you know, live an independent life, to, you know, have your own language, your own, what you'll, people like to say is education, which I don't like that word. I don't like education, because to me, education, what's it really mean? I mean, you can't get a job if you don't have an education, right? I mean, you need all these degrees and, you know, all this stuff to, quote unquote, say I'm educated to just make some money. But, you know, that's where the ignorant part comes in. Is for me, growing up, it was work hard and you do good and good things are happening to you, which is, you know, baloney. I've never experienced that. But yeah, I've been listening to you. It's I like that way that you're trying to break it down for people to understand the Declaration of Indigenous Rights, and you know, it shouldn't. If I picked up a history book and went back, let's just say all the way to the Egyptians, okay, the same laws, rules, practices. Maybe not, you know, the educational part, because that's fairly new. But taxation and whatever, you know, whatever we have, you know, back then to modern day, I don't see any proof for thousands of years how the white man lived and ruled and just proceed with life. I don't see any good out of it. There's not any good out of it. Seriously, I don't see any... 1,000 years of peace, 1,000 years of prosperity. It's always been a war, raping other countries, other people, enslaving other people. It's, I mean, the evidence is all around us. I mean, like you said, we all have smartphones. You can pick up a phone and, you know, do our own and, you know, research on whatever we want. But how do you change the minds of the people to start living in a humble way when I hear independence? Okay, I understand what independence means, and there's different ways of being independent. And I'm thinking what this show means is independent is living on your own terms, growing your own food, not relying on currency, but trading and stuff like that. But the way the system is set up with, like you were saying, you know, policies and jurisdictions and all these, just, and you got to know that all of these laws and whatever jurisdictions, they're made up. They're not real. It's just made up. It's not real. It's an invisible line with an invisible rules, and it's baloney. It's not real. It's fake. But, you know, how do you convince the people that, you know, from being very young to being indoctrinated to being told by the adults in your life and everybody around you that, you know, you got to follow these fake rules? And it's just very hard. You know, it's very hard, I think, for people to wash away a big portion of their life because they rely and led to believe that if they get an education and, you know, get a good job, that simple things in life, like just living in general, it's going to be prosperous as long as you have the ability to make money. Well, I've been looking into like Venezuela, Brazil, because it's a place I've always wanted to visit. I wanted to see the aftermath of what the white people done to my southern brothers and sisters. And man, it's ugly. You know, it's really ugly down there, what they did to those people down there.
It is awful. It is an atrocity. But,
you know, and I just want to know if the people understand what the difference, like, what is, per se, a Mexican? Does anybody know what an ethnic person from Mexico actually looks like? Because there's no difference between America, Canada, and Mexico. They're majority ran by white people that's populated by every race in the entire world on Turtle Island. Now, again, it's another imaginary line that dictates what you can and can't do. And it's all, you know, made up. It's all baloney, you know? It's like make-believe. It's the boogeyman. It's to scare you. It's to make you believe something that's not real. And then you're in fear of it. You've never seen it, you know? Whatever. Scared. You're told to be scared. So how, you know, you really understand. Let's say you've been to Mexico or Brazil. You've never seen it for yourself. And that's just how a lot of things work, is majority of the people go off and hearsay. Well, I heard this. This person said that. A doctor said this. Our president said that, you know, and it's just the people have been sensitized and colonized to believe this guy on a pedestal, I guess you could say, you know, you better believe. But this is what I have to say. After COVID-19, after everything we've seen and we're still continuing going through, these people supposedly who are in charge, these white people, whatever people, right? If they were so smart and they were so educated to believe, then something like this great sickness that happened upon us, we would have been a lot more prepared. We would have not been suffering a lot of people are. Then again, you know, that just goes to show people are so stupid in believing, oh, you know, let's just believe these so-called leaders, you know, there's laws and jurisdictions and regulations and policies and just so on and so forth. People get confused, man, and that's what it's for. It's to confuse the people to believe whatever or whoever is just spitting out nonsense. I have a hard time. I don't know. I just have a hard time living in this reality, because what I see, you know, we are all under the thumb of nature, okay? It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. How many natural disasters that you see on TV that happen continuously every year? You think these corporations or the government or states, whatever jurisdiction they're in, can stop these things? No, and there's a reason why these things are getting more severe, is because look what the people are doing. Look what, you know, they indulge in destruction because they're taught in school that the only way to survive in life is to work. And what are you working for? What are you really working for? Seriously. Like, what are you working for? What is so important about money? What is so important about having a nice car? What is so important about dressing nice? Is that what this reality is about, is to be highly educated and have a good job that's not natural to the natural world? And then people wonder why there's severe tornadoes and thunderstorms, earthquakes going off. You're being told to stop it. But, you know, the educated people, they're ignorant. That's not what they were taught. You know, a lot of people that I know like you were saying, they don't even know how to grow corn. They can't read the terrain. They can't read the water. They can't do anything, because that is not what they're going to teach you into school, is to be a critical thinker and how to survive. The only reason why you go to school is to be a worker, and not only that, but a good citizen and an obedient worker, to never ask questions and just do what you're told. So how do we stop that? How do you stop that? Really?
The only way that we stop it
the answer to that question is we have to implement these ways of critical thinking, ways of our way of life. The Creator gave us a law and a practice. The Creator gave us a whole complete way of life. But we strayed away from it, listening at the ideas of people who didn't mean us any good. And so long as we keep following them in their false deceptions and their false beliefs and all the distractions, we forget about the essence of how to raise the family, how to make our children wholesome so they can survive in the world. You mentioned money. Okay, when a person is in the womb, when a person is developing in the womb of his mother, his provision of life is written for him, how long he will be here, how much he will get food, air, water, what steps, footsteps he will take, what he will do with his life, whether he's going to be happy, unhappy, successful, unsuccessful, his trials of life. All these things matters is already written for him. And some things is left up to him because we have a limited free will and choice. We got a free will of what you can put in your mouth, but you got no choice over the digesting time or how it assimilates in the body or whether the nutrients are realized or how much percentage of it is realized according to how clean your system is or how polluted your system is. Those things are not within our grasp. You go to sleep. You have to sleep whether you want to or not. You only can stay awake so many hours, and then the natural order of the Creator is that you sleep to rejuvenate so it will take its rights. You will go to sleep, and then you have no governance over how long you slept. Maybe by habit, you sleep 2 hours or 4 hours. But if you push yourself beyond the limits of normal capacity, your body is going to take 10, 12 hours of sleep from you, and you won't have nothing to say about it. You eat and you drink, and your body has to assimilate and digest and then expel the waste through excrement or wasted fluid, right? Or if you take certain foods, it gets high in vitamin C, your body will absorb so much of it, and then whatever is not useful will be discarded through the waste channels. So those things, you have no say over. Your body has a natural response to oxygen. The trees give us oxygen. We give them back carbon dioxide, so it is an even exchange there. So we are relative to the trees. Yet, we take them for granted. But we cannot live without the trees. Some people say, well, I don't believe in the unseen. You can't see the oxygen, and you breathe it every day. And your body has a natural response from when they took the mask off your face at birth, when they peeled that mask, that skin off, you took that breath of air. When you first hit the air, you took that first breath of oxygen because that was the order of the Creator. Some people say, I don't believe in no Creator. I don't believe in no divine order. I don't believe in these things. Well, who you think is feeding the microscopic creature that crawls under the dirt? The creature that swim under the water, the creature that fly through the air or walk on two legs or four legs or crawl on his belly. Who feeds them every day? Who gives them their provision? It just happened all of a sudden, huh? So these, as we look at these things and we live in a world where we're not alone, we have others of different natures, of different communities, of different languages, of different families, of different clans, of different nations, different tribes. And we all different, very diverse, like the fingerprints on your hands. None of your fingerprints on your 10 fingers are the same. None of the flowers bloom all at the same time. It's the springtime, but the trees don't bloom all the same. The leaves develop, you know, relatively in the same time, but not exactly the same time. Diversity in which you spoke of, a medium of exchange. On the East Coast, they exchanged wampum. They took a quahog shell, which is like a clown shell. The inside of it has a very beautiful purple and translucent pearl finish. And the East Coast Indians of the Atlantic Coast, they traded that as something valuable. Down in the south, southwest, the blue stone, the turquoise, and the silver was something that could be traded as a value. All over the world, they traded gold and silver, dinars and dirhams. How did they create this deceitful system? They put God's system, the creative system, on the back shelf. We in the south, we traded foods with the northern people. They gave us the meat. We gave them the vegetables and the fruits. They protected us with their warriors. When we needed warriors, they would send their warriors down to aid us. We had exchange. We had trade. Down in the farther south, south of the border, what they call Mexico, Panama, Nicaragua down there, they traded rubber, chocolate, soaps, perfumes. They made all these things, and they traded with us in the further north and in the south. And then we traded with the people further north. And some communities grew large, so they pushed other communities into further other lands unoccupied. So all these things happen. This is the trade. This is evolution of the growth of people. Yet we're supposed to maintain the integrity of respecting one another, in which most people of the world do. But there are two nations of people. If you ever read the Quran and you read about the Jews, well, my Jews, the Gog and Magog people. In some museums, they get pictures of these little white folks with farm clothes on, look like a farmer, old man, white woman. And they of the tribe of Gog and Magog. These people came from the Caucasus Mountains between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea. And they were different tribes. Some of them settled in what you call Palestine, modern-day Palestine, and they call themselves Jewish, but they're not Jewish. They're Khazars, the Khazarians. Well, they took on that Hebrew way of life and dispelled the true Hebrew people out of their land. They're trying to kick the Palestinians out because that's their true land. They came here, Ferdinand and what was that other one's name? Isabella. Queen Isabella and Ferdinand, they was of Portugal and European people that came down. They band together to take Spain back, Al-Andalus, back from the African, the Berber tribes, who had took that area from them and flourished the people. They had the people living under horrible conditions. And then those Berber tribes came, and they raised that area, they called it the Golden Age of Al-Andalus. For 700, 800 years, the people lived on a grand scale thanks to those tribes. Over here, we lived on a grand scale. People came from other parts of the world to Cahokia, Illinois. People came from other parts of the world